Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome, Patriots and Redoubters. This is the voice of the American Redoubt, and I'm John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name, too. God-fearing, liberty-minded Patriots, it's great to have you with us on episode 13-30, the 30th broadcast of 2013. And it is the 3rd of November, and there was a lot of places that woke up to a blanket of snow across the American Redoubt. It is that time of year. It's going to melt off. It always does. But what a great week it was. There was just a lot of activity going on in the American Redoubt. Patriot groups, organizations, people meeting, the Oath Keepers meeting, the AMRON groups are meeting and training. And so the networks are building, and it was a really positive thing. I'll talk a little bit about that. We're going to just kind of mix it up a little bit this evening. And for segment one, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time doing news and commentary like we usually try to do. There are some announcements and things that I wanted to get to, but tonight what I wanted to do, there was a lot of activity and emails and discussion going back and forth as far as this National Geographic docudrama called, American Blackout, and there was a lot of disappointment about it, but there's also some things that can be gleaned from it, and I understand where people are coming from, and I felt the same way, but I wanted to talk just a little bit about that. I've got a couple thoughts, and then, of course, then we're going to talk about some of the trouble that our country is in with regard to the purge that's taking place. And that's why I call it the current and coming purge of our leadership. Right now we're seeing that in the military, but I'm going to talk a little bit about that. We've got a few victories. We're winning some battles, but the war is long from over. And so I just wanted to help prepare you and give you some items, some action plans for what you can do in the future. I want to identify some of the things that are going on. I want to re-identify for our new listeners and those sometimes those of us that forget all the progress that the progressives have made. And we need to be reminded from time to time. And we also need to connect some of the dots and find out what that really means to us, in the near future or intermediate future. Let's see. Of course, you can follow us on facebook.com/radiofreeredoubt.com/radiofreeredoubt. And then, of course, on Twitter. I also wanted to remind you that the raffle tickets are still on sale, $5 each or three for $12 for the Katy body armor. You can win that gear over on the right hand side of the website. Scroll down to the Win Gear banner. Learn more about that. It is the full meal deal, full trauma plates, including side plates, body armor carrier, the mag dump pouches, the 3 mag pouch. And, of course, the AMP 3 Bloodstopper kit that AMP 3 donated to go along with that to increase the added value of that. So somebody's going to have a Merry Christmas. That drawing is going to be on the 15th of December. Okay, there is an announcement that I wanted to throw out there. You guys have heard of John Beal. He is one of the American Redoubt clergy. He's in a... he's an educator on our American Christian heritage, and of course, he also operates the website called bywhatstandard.org. does a lot of training. Well, they are lining up a bunch of training that I think is going to be mandatory for our patriots that are living in the Eastern Washington, Northern Idaho areas. This training is going to be taking place in Spokane. If you're within an hour's drive and you have the time available, you don't already have something else planned, I want to strongly encourage patriots, especially our God-fearing patriots, to educate yourselves. This is called, it's what I received from John Beale. They've got a couple trainings going on, Founding Visions Academy and By What Standard Ministries. They're excited to announce their new classes for this fall and the winter months. And this is what it says: in keeping with our calling to instruct our community in biblical law, government, and history, we're starting our God and Government class on Monday, November 4th. So that's tomorrow night. Actually, most of you listen to the downloaded podcast version, the iTunes version, on Mondays. So for you, it'll be tonight, Monday. I hope all of you, well, even if you didn't, even if you did forget to set your clocks back, you were probably sitting there an hour early waiting for Radio Free Readout to come on. But that'll be Monday evening, November 4th at Coins Plus. That's a Christian-owned, Patriot-owned business that's offering their place to be able to host this training. And that's in Spokane. I'm going to post the instructions and everything for you guys to be able to go to that. It's about 2 hours every Monday night from 6:30 to 8:30. And they're going to be starting a series on the biblical doctrine of war, subtitled God is a Warrior. It's 15 weeks long. It gives you a lot of our American biblical heritage, concepts of a holy war, just war theory, when is it right to fight, warrior priests, and a professional army versus a militia, and dealing with tyrants. For the times that are coming ahead, the reason why I'm passing this along, for decisions that we have to make, you've got to know your right. And we want to make sure that our doctrine is sound, it is scripturally based. And with all the confusion out there that are confusing Christians, you should submit. No, you should not submit against oppression and evil. Or yes, you should. And then people are in the middle saying, what do I do? Well, you go to the Word. Make sure you rightly divide it. And make sure you have a good understanding. Now, on Friday nights, this coming November 8th, at Turning Point Open Bible Church, that's North Division in Spokane as well, same time, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m., they'll be starting a 12-week course entitled From Terror to Triumph, Proven Strategies of History to Triumph Over the Terrors of Our Time. And that'll be put on by Dr. Marshall Foster, and he's the president of the World History Institute. Very intelligent and capable people that are going to help you get back in touch with your heritage from a Christian perspective. So I really want to encourage you to attend those if at all possible. And boy, I wish we had a way to video these. We can upload them and share them with those of you that are in different parts of the American Readout and farther away from those folks over there in North Idaho and the Spokane area where you can't attend. And for those of you in occupied territory across America and Canada where you're not able to, or for all of our serving members overseas, that are regular listeners that love to be part of this. I'm going to talk to John Beale and see if there's any way that we can record these or anything so we can share them with you. Great training. Really good stuff. Okay, coming up, we've got the Eye on the Economy with Fox 519. We're going to just make segment one a real short one because there's several things that I want to talk about and get things wrapped up tonight. So we'll go exceptionally long this evening. And so I'm going to turn this over to Fox 519 right now. This is the voice of the American Readout, and we bring you the Eye on the Economy.
Did you get a good scare on Halloween? You didn't? Well, I sure did. The Fed met last week and decided to keep printing more money. This is Fox 519 back with you and bringing you the news that affects your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye on the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt. Welcome back to Eye on the Economy. This week, the Fed met again to decide the fate of the American economy. The Fed's policymaking committee ended their two-day meeting on Wednesday and further proved that the chances are vanishingly small that it will dial down their monetary stimulus right away. Their findings? The recent government shutdown in Washington and last gasp deal to raise the federal debt ceiling have simply created too much economic uncertainty. As a result, the usefulness of the September figures on industrial output, retail sales, and consumer prices that all fell further prove that their strategy still isn't working and has convinced many economists that the Fed will delay tapering until 2014. And by then, I fear it may be too late. In other U.S. news this week, we can now expect our precious ammo supplies are about to become even more pricey. This week, Stasi-based EPA finally caused the last U.S.-based lead smelter, Doe Run, to shut down. Doe Run is based out of St. Louis and employs close to 4,000 workers. Doe Run is the only U.S.-based lead smelter left, and now it will be closed as of December. The Doe Run company will be laying off its workforce of 4,000 workers before year-end, leaving us with only one real foreign supplier for our ammo needs. Can you guess who it is? Da-da-da-da. It's China. This will have an immediate effect and further limiting supplies, which also will be increasing those prices, and we can see this and expect it soon after Doe Run's closure this December. Finally, in world news tonight, the unemployment rate in Europe has continued to climb to record levels, proving that a fiat currency system and mass printing of that currency does not create jobs. The unemployment rate in the 17-nation Eurozone grew by 60,000 people last week to a new high of 19.45 million people without work. That is approximately 12.2% of the population. The information, when released, caused a dip in the euro's trading value from $1.37 to $1.36 at the close of business. Earlier this year, the ECB cut its key interest rate to a record low to spur lending. But banks and companies and households are still too afraid to borrow money. With these three stories in mind, here's what I'm doing with my finances this week. Now that I've recovered from my terrible cold and shored up many of my medical supply needs, it's back to the grindstone with my food storage. With the approach of the holidays and the date of January 15th for another possible government shutdown, I want to make sure that I have some key foods on hand. Powdered milk, meat, and wheat I can grind is what I'm focusing on at this moment. It's always great to bring you the news, and I hope it finds you well. For Radio Free Redoubt and Eye on the Economy, this is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
If you are a God-fearing patriot and love liberty and the spirit of America, you may be feeling like a foreigner in your own country. If that sounds like you, then the American Redoubt might be the right move for you. The momentum is building, and many families are taking refuge among like-minded patriots all across the inland Pacific Northwest. If you are considering joining the hundreds of families that are moving to higher ground, then check out the resources located at www.radiofreeredoubt.blogspot.com and click on the tab labeled Relocate.
All right, thanks for being with us. Segment two is sponsored tonight by Katie Armor. They've got their new store. You can go to katiearmor.3dcartstores.com. Actually, you can go to katiearmor.com. All that's up and running. Or you can just click on the links there on the website and go through and check out their store. It's they're making a lot of changes to that and upgrading that and everything. Okay, I got several emails, and there were several comments that were posted. People kind of going back and forth about the docudrama that was produced by National Geographic last week, titled American Blackout. We posted the links to it in the YouTube trailer and everything. Well, that is posted in its full length on YouTube for you to watch. I know several of you were saying, oh man, I wanted to see it. And well, if you don't get to see it, your life is not incomplete. All right. You can live without seeing the American Blackout. However, first of all, I'm impressed that an organization like National Geographic would even put something like this out. But of course, they're capitalizing on doomsday preppers. And so it does not appear that they had a whole lot of technical experts advising them on the production of American Blackout. Now, there are several scenarios, or this scenario covers several small groups of people or families, probably four or five different individuals or families, groups that are dealing with this cyber attack that brings down the grid across the United States. There's only one group, if you will, who are preppers. And they have a bug out plan. They knew exactly what to do to beat the crowds. They started loading up. And of course, it just seems like the one guy, the prepper dad, as people have been referring to him, is the only one that seemed like he had a plan to respond to something like this. And then, of course, he had a whiny family that didn't want to go, and they had the teenage daughter with the boyfriend. We got to take him along because his parents won't be back until this weekend, blah, 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 blah. Okay, there's all kinds of stuff that goes wrong. It will make you pull your hair out in frustration over just how stupid some people are. Now, for the argument, my first thought was, hey, even if people make mistakes, you can learn from the mistakes. But these are so blatantly, ridiculously obnoxious and stupid, the scenarios that some of these people find themselves in. I really believe that for the production and what they had at hand to deal with for National Geographic, it could have been so much better. Now, there were some lessons to be gleaned from this. Now, for most preppers, they're already well beyond some of the lessons that could be gleaned from this. Like this one couple, a yuppie couple living in a high-rise in New York or some large city, try to go to the deli, and they're only taking cash. It turns into a little fight. The guy ends up grabbing a can of peaches and running out with his girlfriend. Somebody tries, bashing his head in for this can of peaches, and they had to fight for this one can of peaches because that's all they have. They finally get up to their apartment, up the stairs, 42 flights because there's no electricity. And they don't have a can opener because they have an electric can opener. Now, for you know, the listening audience here and for myself, I'm like, a non-electric can opener is, that's so elementary. But anyway, the guy ends up having to cut the thing open with a knife. He cuts himself. He gets food poisoning because all they had left was caviar and their refrigerator was out. And the whole thing is just making you just shake your head at these people and the situations that they're in. But here's the thing. This really makes people, the masses, the 90 percentile of Americans who are completely unprepared, they make up the audience watching this American Blackout. And so for the first time for many people, they're beginning the discussion and they're looking about how ridiculous or stupid people seem to be. And they're saying, what would we do in that situation? Now, here's the success of it. My family and I talked about different scenarios all week. It came up. The kids kept bringing it up. Hey, Dad, what would happen if such and such? And so they'd present different scenarios. So the success in all of this, first of all, the children got to see the mindset of people who are not prepared and what can happen. You can sit there and talk to the kids, but you know they stare at you and their eyes glaze over and drool comes out of the corner of their mouth. And you can tell you're just not getting through to them. But then they watch something and they say, hey, what would we do? Now, we discussed this stuff, but you just, to have that visual pound into their head, we discussed it. And I know several other families discussed it as well. So what it did was it started the discussion. What to do in this type of a situation. And when you've got your kids saying, man, they're thinking through these problems. Man, this guy should have done this, or these people should have done that. They should have been prepared and had this going. So that's the conversation that's being started by Americans that are watching this. And, you know, if it just helps a few people get that much further prepared, then this, it was successful. Now, I give it about a 3-star rating out of 5, because, parts of it were well done, but the characters were just annoying. And some of the stuff that they did was annoying. There was no value in it for prepping, but it was a great value for a family discussion throughout the rest of the week. But there's another one coming up. I'm not going to tell you about it quite yet because I'm working with the producers and the writers of a similar situation, a nationwide computer hacking attack that takes down our grid, but only it takes things a step further. See, the problem with the American blackout is that it was very similar to like a Twilight Zone type of scenario where they, you know, the end of the world, everybody's at each other's throats, and then all of a sudden it's over. See, because in 10 days in this American blackout scenario, in 10 days, the power all just comes back on. It's fixed. So what happens is in a real grid down attack, it could take months or even years to replace power to certain parts of the country. But this scenario that you watch put on by National Geographic makes you feel like, all we got to do is just prepare for 10 days. Oh, the whole thing. I mean, this was a scary situation and some bad things happened to some people, but if we can just hang on for 10 days, and that's the danger of this. Because if something like that really went down, it would change things in ways that you can't even comprehend. Well, there's a new movie that's coming out. I got to watch the trailer. I've been corresponding with the producers of it. And the director, we're setting up an interview with the director. We're going to hopefully get that done this week so that we can air it next week. And I'm going to be able to watch the full-length version of this this scenario, but only the Chinese get involved. The whole thing centered around our national debt. It's a very real and plausible scenario. And so anyway, I'm going to hold that close to the vest because I'm going to see how things play out this week. I think what this is going to do is take this American blackout scenario to a level that would be acceptable to you and me. And it would definitely take the conversation to a level that most Americans just simply aren't prepared for, but it's very realistic. I think for the masses, the National Geographic version was probably about as most that people can handle. So it was disappointing, but there was some value and there were some lessons to be learned from it. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about some stuff that's going on. The purge that's taking place in our military, the attempted purge that we're seeing among sheriffs, and the purge that we need to be prepared for in the future, because it's historical. There's a lot of precedence for what we're seeing, and we're starting to see a little glimpse and what the future is going to be like. I'm going to give you a little action plan, talk about what we can do about that as citizens. All right, this is the Voice of the American Redoubt, and I'm John Jacob Schmidt. Stay right there.
I love the liberty found in the spirit of America, and that's why I love America. But what do I have left when the liberty vanishes from America? It is just soil, like the soil that can be found anywhere else on Earth. Benjamin Franklin said, "Where liberty is, there is my country." And 2 Corinthians 3:17 states, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Well, that's interesting. Now, put the two together. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And where liberty is, there is my country. Did you really think removing God from this nation would come without a price? I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
This is Chris Walsh, a Revolutionary Realty in North Idaho. We've developed springs, installed solar and wind power, installed root cellars, solar hot water heaters, all documented on our website, free for public use. Our articles are fully documented, full-page photos and drawings detailing each endeavor. Take a look at our off-grid information on our website, www.revrealty.us. Again, that's www.revrealty.us. When you're looking for property in North Idaho, call a Revolutionary, 208-667-1776.
Okay, here we are, segment three, brought to you by AMP3, Austere Medical and Practical Preparedness Project. They provide medical and specialty gear for the prepared citizen. You can learn more by going to www.amp-3.net. Okay, let's talk about the purge. Historically, we have seen this through every oppressive, tyrannous regime, purging leadership that isn't towing the line. Okay, could this happen in America? Yes. How do I know? Because it's already happening. You guys remember, there was a sheriff in Florida, Sheriff Nick Finch. What happened was, last year, there was a citizen who was arrested for carrying a gun. What he did was he basically nullified the arrest and said that this is an American citizen. He has the right to carry a firearm, and he threw it out. Well, the governor, they came in and arrested him, the state police. They arrested him, put him in his own jail, and the governor found him not fit for duty because he wouldn't enforce the law. A law that was unconstitutional. Okay, now there's a lot more going on in this, but Sheriff Mack got involved, the Oath Keepers got involved, and the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association got involved. And so this was a huge Second Amendment victory. This was put out by Oath Keepers. They announced this. And of course, it's been covered in several different venues. On October 31, just a few days ago, Sheriff Nick Finch won his case at trial in Liberty County, Florida. The charges were complete nonsense to begin with, and the laughter in the courtroom was difficult to suppress as the prosecution presented its flimsy, farcical case. Sheriff Finch was charged and arrested and booked into his own jail last June. Sheriff Finch had done something nearly unheard of, yet noble and courageous. He nullified the arrest of a law-abiding citizen who had the audacity of carrying a gun in his pocket. Now, Sheriff Finch said, "Not on my watch." So the state moved in, arrested the sheriff, and rearrested the citizen, known as Mr. Parrish. Now, after all was said and done, Finch was removed from office. He went to trial. Mr. Parrish once again had the charges dropped, but he was ordered to perform 50 hours of community service and pay $200. After the charges were dropped. Okay. Anyway, announcement comes forward with, let's be very clear here. Neither man was guilty of anything. There were no victims, no evidence that a crime had ever occurred. Today, a jury consisting of 6 Liberty County citizens nullified the charges against the sheriff and told the state officials who brought this case to trial they were having none of their shenanigans. Sheriff Finch was reinstated as sheriff just 15 minutes later. So, victory for the blue team. But this is not the end of it. There have been other situations with sheriffs who are up in New York and various different places being threatened with being removed from office for not enforcing unconstitutional laws. So this is a good victory. It's going to establish case law that's going to help protect sheriffs and elected officials in the future. But right now, we're seeing a huge purge of in our military. Now, there was a Navy SEAL veteran. He just said that the several of these purges are directly tied with the responses by a litmus test, a questionnaire that's being posed to military officers. And one of those is, would you disarm American citizens and participate in this? Would you have any reservations against this? And if they don't respond appropriately, they're getting relieved of duty. Several military generals, just nine of them during the Obama administration, have been purged from their positions, sometimes without any explanation. Sometimes it's, you know, very clear they're not towing the line. But see, it's not just these five generals. General Boykin, he's with the Delta Force, he referred to several reports that Obama has purged some 197 officers in the past 5 years. Military officers. So, there's a WorldNet Daily article that talks a little bit more about this, where Boykin says there's no doubt that Obama is intent on emasculating the military and will fire anyone who disagrees with him over such issues as homosexuals, women in foxholes, the Obama sequester, and so on. They're purging everyone, and if you want to keep your job, you just keep your mouth shut. And this is what we're up against. This is, remember, these people are communists and they're socialists. They play by their own rules. They change the rules as they go. But what we've seen with tyrannous regimes, with communist regimes, socialist regimes, as they rise to power, they purge the leadership. Anybody who won't toe the line, anybody who won't go along with their agenda, anybody perceived as a threat. Now, these are going to be future, very strong potential future allies to the constitutionalists, to the patriots, because they're setting the stage along with what the historical precedents that we've seen for purging leadership that do not want to go along with the regime, along with a buildup and a police state. And this is what we're seeing here. We're seeing that the totalitarian system is being revealed. It's being unveiled right before our eyes. Just as a little reminder, if you remember, the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, recently passed, signed by Obama, indefinitely imprison American citizens without charge, without a lawyer. They can be removed from the country. They can be removed to another facility. These are American citizens. Congress passed a bill repealing the Posse Comitatus, which is that barrier between, you know, using the military for civilian law enforcement purposes. Would they really do that? They're preparing right now. They're paving the way. The senators that are behind this, like John McCain, Carl Levin, Senator Lindsey Graham, these guys have declared that America is now part of the battlefield in this war against terror, and that people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not. This is blatantly unconstitutional. These people are oath breakers. Now in our military, we have a lot of pressure being put on the chaplains. They can't speak out at all against homosexuality. They're talking now, the Army just put out a briefing, a pre-deployment briefing, explaining that one of the biggest, the number one threat to American national security are evangelical Christians. And our military are being asked and posed, would you disarm Americans? And for the people who say no, they're suddenly being removed of their command for officers. Meanwhile, they're building up the instruments of war. They're redefining terrorists. More and more of the training scenarios for law enforcement and the military are centered around extremist homegrown terror groups, right-wing extremists, sovereignty groups, Christians. These are the scenarios that they're planning, that they're building up for. And now we have the Department of Homeland Security purchasing nearly 2 billion rounds of ammunition. Now, 2 billion rounds of ammunition is a lot of ammo. Okay, the military used 70 million rounds a year during the Iraq war. But Homeland Security has to purchase 2 billion rounds, 7,000 assault weapons, almost 3,000 mine-resistant armored personnel vehicles, and then now drones. They're preparing for war. This is what you do when you're preparing for war. So who are they going to war against? Islamic extremists? Because the last Islamic extremists that I know of that attacked a military base, this administration is calling it workplace violence. Now evangelical Christians are slated as the number one extremist threat to America. Ahead of Muslim Brotherhood, KKK, Nation of Islam, Al-Qaeda, Hamas. So this is pretty disturbing. Now, what's going to happen in the future is that our leadership that are conservative, God-fearing, liberty-minded, constitutional-protecting, Americanism-loving leadership, from your elected officials, your state representative, your state senator, your congressman, your sheriff, your county commissioners, what you saw with these attempts at these removing these sheriffs from office and the ongoing removing anybody who would speak out against the Obama administration's agenda in the military and purging them. You're going to see, you're just seeing a glimpse of what's to come. And in the future, it's sad to say, if you have what they describe, or will describe, a radical, extremist, right-wing, fanatical state representative, he's not going to be fit for duty. He won't be fit to serve in that position and will have to be removed. I want you to start thinking about this and preparing for this. All across America, and all across the American redoubt. I've mentioned this before. Now's the time to identify your leadership. You are identifying those that oppose Americanism so that you can oust them when the elections come up this coming May and the following November. But what's more important is that you need to be identifying your leadership, sheriffs, county commissioners, representatives, senators, whoever they are, and community leaders, those that will have to be removed, purged, because you are going to have to protect them one day. You're going to have to stand behind them in force. You may have to physically protect them. You might have to physically hide them. But this purge is going to expand. This regime has very grandiose plans. And they're going to have their sights set on the people that can do the most damage. And right now, the people that can do the most damage or the legitimate leadership. And at the time, it's going to be people who are legitimately elected positions that the people will respond to and respect because they're legitimate leadership that will have to go away. So anyway, as this purge expands, I want you to make a note of your leadership. And I need you to identify the most prominent, proactive, aggressively conservative Christian leadership. And I want you to start thinking about what you're going to do when the time comes and those people start disappearing or forced to step down or pressured to step down, when the masses are being lied to and there's misinformation is flying, when it's going to take the patriots to stand up, protect these people, maybe even physically. Right now, we had a victory because the system is still in place. We're able to go to court and reinstate and use political clout and political power and use the legal system to protect a sheriff and reinstate him. That was a great victory. So anyway, I want you to think about that, the purge. How far that goes historically, when they physically go in the middle of the night and they start arresting extremist leadership, are you going to let it happen? Just think about it. Okay, we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about communications, and I want to read some letters that we got from some people and respond to some of those, answer some of your questions. Okay, this is the Voice of the American Redoubt, and you stay right there.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, The Way I See It. In the Spokesman Review editorial section, I noticed a disturbing article entitled, "Persecuted Church Should Know Better." The author claimed members of the Pilgrim Slavic Baptist Church, many of whom escaped from communist Russia in the 1980s, were persecuting homosexuals by merely holding signs outside of their downtown church building urging rejection of Referendum 71 and same-sex marriage. So let me get this straight. Christians are doing the persecuting by holding signs. The fact is, it's the Christians being persecuted. Many members of Pilgrim Slavic Church suffered firsthand for being Christians under communist rule in Russia. Some were jailed, tortured, had property destroyed, and were accosted just for being a Christian. So they came to the United States, the land of the free, or so they thought. The fact is, since the campaign to reject Referendum 71 started, those same refugees from communist tyranny have had rocks thrown through their windows, property stolen, and their children yelled at in the foulest language imaginable by members of the homosexual community. I spoke with their pastor, and he confirmed those reports. But it hasn't stopped there. The two leaders of the Referendum 71 effort, Larry Stickney and Gary Randall, have both received death threats. The fact is, everywhere same-sex marriage is implemented, the story is identical. Harassment, intimidation, and persecution of Christians follows. This has happened in Sweden, British Columbia, Alberta, New Jersey, New Mexico, and California, just to name a few. The message is clear: support homosexual behavior or suffer the consequences. The fact is, everywhere same-sex marriage has been allowed, it is used to justify the persecution of people of faith, and protecting religious liberty is just another benefit of rejecting R71. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening.
We are eternally grateful to all our heroes, past and present, who have sworn to protect and defend our nation and our Constitution. Thank you for keeping your word. Thank you, Oath Keepers.
Are you a licensed ham operator? If so, the American Readout Movement needs your help. To support the mission of keeping the American Readout connected in a Teotihuacan situation, Radio Free Readout is working on a project to build a network of patriotic, amateur radio operators who consider themselves readouters. Your skills will be critical in rebuilding and advancing the American Readout Movement after Teotihuacan. Please email us at radiofreereadout@gmail.com to find out how you can partner with Radio Free Readout in this critical and time-sensitive project. Your input and ideas are greatly appreciated. Thank you, ham operators, for what you do.
Okay, here we are coming into segment four, a little bit shorter, abbreviated version for our show tonight. It is episode 1330. I've got several things lined up for the coming weeks, and it's really exciting. So things I wanted to address here, the communications. Yesterday, I got to make a trip to Bonner County, Idaho, where they had an AMRON meeting. Because what's happened is with these civilian or civilization preservation teams, the Oath Keepers is forming. One of the things that they're trying to do is develop a communication plan with communications experts among each one of these teams to help coordinate efforts for rebuilding and preserving Americanism. And so what they're doing is adopting the AMRON, the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network, and the TapperNet, the American Preparedness Radio Net, communications plans. And so there were several people that went to the AMRON meeting on Saturday in Bonner County, Idaho. So I went over there. I got to speak for a little bit, talk to some of the new faces and some of the old faces and the people that are dedicated communications experts and those that are up and coming and aspiring. And some of them are very experienced and seasoned. Some of them are brand new, even trying to get their ham license or just recently have. Or maybe not getting their ham license, but they just want to learn about communications overall so they can stay connected in a down situation. So it was really exciting. It was great to meet a lot of people. And so I just wanted to share a few things. We identified there's definitely some very noticeable weaknesses in our communications plan, and that is in the training area. There's people from all different levels, and for the folks that are just coming on board, there's so much to it, communications, that people are realizing that it's so much more than just pushing a button and trying to get a hold of Bob or Fred or somebody on the other end. There's just a lot involved, and so these people are learning and they're realizing how much they don't know, and things it can be discouraging. So what we're going to do is try to expedite our training plans, programs, try to put some PowerPoints together, some YouTube videos, some training to bring everybody up from level one, communications 101 on up. And I know we've been talking about this for a while and everybody's got really full plates, but this is something that's really got to get done soon. So I just want to encourage you and let you know that it's been identified and noted and so we are working on that. So hang in there. Learn as much as you can. In the meantime, on your own, go to YouTube, go to whatever resources that you can get a hold of, especially a local ham club. Get involved and get a hold of somebody that's more than willing to share their knowledge with you. And there's no shortage of them. A couple letters here. I just wanted to recommend that someone come up with an Android app. I'd prefer to listen to the Sunday shows on my tablet instead of having to use the computer. Well, I'm sorry, my man, but you're going to have to use your computer for a while. I wish there was an Android app, too. I have an Android tablet, and every time I try to listen to something on the internet, a podcast or some audio file or something, it says that I need some kind of something I got to download, and then I try to download and it says this isn't suitable for Android platforms, sorry. So I know it's frustrating, but I'm in the same boat, and until somebody does come up with an Android app, I don't know the first thing about that. I don't know of anybody who makes apps. There's like the app, is there an app company, app group that just sits around and makes apps? So applications, I don't know. But anyway, there's not much we can do about that for right now. Okay, I want to remind you too, the AMRON Nets, the first and third Wednesday and Thursday of each month. So this coming week is the first week of the month. So Wednesday night and Thursday night are going to be the Nets. Now, remember, the time changed last night or 2 o'clock this morning. So, we are going to be abandoning and closing the 40 meter net frequencies, and we're going to be using the 80 meter nets in their place. So make a note of that. Don't be sitting there trying to dial in on the 40 meters, frequencies, because those are going to be closed because of propagation. It's winter time. 40 meters starts to really go downhill. It doesn't work well. 80 meter nets actually start to work really well during the winter months. So we just chose when the time changes, daylight savings time changes, then that's would be our magic moment when we'll go back to the 80 meter nets. Make a note of that. And of course, those times are in Zulu time. So it's actually going to be an hour earlier than normal because the Zulu time, why do we use Zulu time? Somebody asked that. How can we use Zulu time? Zulu time is Greenwich Mean Time in Greenwich, England. It's standardized the world over. It's known as Zulu time or UTC, Universal Time, because it never it never changes with the daylight savings. And when you're crossing several time zones, like in the United States, there is, you know, four or five time zones, depending on where you are. It's just easier to say, no matter where you are in the world, we're going to be on at 01:30 Zulu time. That's AM. 1:30 in the morning Zulu time in Greenwich, England. Everybody in the world knows to tune in at a certain time. They don't have to think about, was that Pacific, Eastern, Mountain? Wait, are they 2 hours ahead? Oh, wait, I'm in Arizona. We don't have daylight savings time. Oh, I'm in Hawaii. We don't either. So it just adds so much confusion. Zulu time, anytime you're dealing with multiple time zones, whether you're in the military or the communications world or aviation, naval, whatever it is, maritime, Zulu time is used. So that's why we use it. Now, if you go to the AMRON tab or the communications tab on the, for the, with the communications plan in the PDF file that you can print out, there's a chart in there that tells you how to figure out Zulu time based on whatever your time zone is. Set up a clock in the lower right-hand corner of your computer screen so you can just mouse over it, and boom, there's Zulu time for you. Several people, like myself, have two digital clocks on the wall, one with Zulu time, one with local time. So that's a little helpful hint, something might help you. Okay, a couple more letters, then we're going to get this all wrapped up. Here's one. I'm a Vietnam vet and also in the occupied East Coast. No money to get out, so I have to stay and survive. I bought a Sony shortwave radio. My problem is the book is not very clear on how to operate it. Is there someone who could give plain English on how things work? Okay, like when do you use the sideband switch and how do you change meters? Okay. Let's see here. He's talking about a Sony shortwave radio receiver. You can't talk on it. You can only listen on it. And several people have those and they work really well, especially if you hook an external antenna to it. And especially if you can string that antenna up outside and as long as you can get. If you can get 150 feet of wire, you know, going out to the tree, you're going to just get better reception. Okay, now, I understand the books aren't, you know, the operator's manual with many of those radios aren't super clear. But if you go, YouTube is your friend. You go to YouTube and there's people that have tutorials on how to operate that radio. Now, specifically what you asked is, when do you use the sideband switch? Okay, in our communications plan, you'll see a frequency. And right next to that, you'll see LSB or USB. That means lower sideband or upper sideband. So when you are trying to tune in to ham radio communications, you're almost always going to use the single sideband. And it'll specify whether you're supposed to be using the upper sideband or lower sideband right there in the communications plan. So when you're tuning into ham radios, that the shortwave radios, that is when you use that single sideband switch. Now, how do you change meters? You don't have to necessarily change meters per se. All you have to do is focus on the frequency. When we say 40 meters and 80 meters, if you're not a ham operator, that really doesn't mean a whole lot to you, but it doesn't have to. Look at the frequency. If you see 3.242 megahertz, that's what you dial into. Just put 3.242 megahertz. Flip your, if you're listening to voice communications, you look over there, it says LSB. Flip that thing over to LSB, lower sideband, and right on that frequency. And then everybody that's an amateur radio operator know that that frequency happens to fall within the 80 meter band, but you don't need to, that doesn't really, is not real relevant to you. All you need is that frequency. It's listed on the communications plan. Type in, or, you know, punch in that frequency, 3.242, whatever it happens to be. Set your upper sideband or lower sideband switch according to the communications plan that's in the PDF file. Just set everything up, just like you see in the communications plan, for that time, for that day, and there you are. Okay. Now, if you have specific questions about that, any of you folks out there, email me. We'll either put you all, if I can't answer your questions, I'll put you in touch with people who will, but most of it is really simple. You'll have these aha moments where the light bulb comes on. You realize, oh, that's it. That's all there is to it. Cool. And then you'll be off and running. So, we don't want you to get discouraged. It is really, once you understand, once you see how it works, it's really not as complicated, as it feels like it is. Okay, especially when you're just receiving communications. You're not trying to communicate out. That's a different story. But when you're just listening and receiving, it's remarkably simple. So be encouraged. Let's see here. If you could suggest some good options and or sources for basic ham radio equipment for someone just getting started, I'd appreciate any tips you can provide. Okay, we're going to do that. We're going to put a list together because that question came up several times, especially about the Baofeng, the 5R Plus, you know, the handheld dual band radios. We're going to put an article up there and we are going to provide all the resources. Poly 01 and let's see, there's a few others. Patriot Drum, those are code names. You guys have lists of recently researched and purchased equipment from your dual band antennas, the radios, the adapters, spare batteries, all that stuff. We're going to get all those parts numbers, links to either Amazon or eBay items. So there's your shopping list, real simple. And we'll try to, you know, put a brief explanation next to each thing. And that'll help you get off and up and running and hopefully get a lot of your questions answered. Okay, let's see. Let's go ahead and wrap this up for tonight because I've got a lot of research to do. I want to try to make the next couple of shows really informative, very encouraging, and lots of resources and stuff. So I'm going to get started on that. I'm going to get this all uploaded tonight to the Podbean player so you can download this throughout the week. And I really, really appreciate your guys' feedback, your passing the stories along, the links, news, items, videos, all that kind of stuff that helps keep us informed. And I want to pass that on to the listeners. And keep that coming in. Really great stuff. And you guys just have a blessed week and join us next week for episode 13-31. And we'll have several things lined up for you that you're going to want to be definitely tuned in for. Okay, I'm John Jacob Schmidt. Just proud to be your host. Great to have you all with us. And until we meet again, you guys have a blessed week. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.